The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I must apologise to Anne because I told her she had a reading and I never told her what it was.
And I completely forgot.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's on silent, but it needs to be turned off. Okay. Bad phone. Naughty phone. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I might ask Aaron, if you could get me a glass of water when the reading's finished, please. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not irritable and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Lord, we thank you for your word. Amen. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Oh, it's going to fall over there, isn't it? You'll just have to excuse me for a minute. I've got a card I've got to write. Because as Ruth reminded us, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Be my Valentine. With love. Right. Written. Signed, sealed, and soon to be delivered. To who? Well, you know, I love Valentine's Day. I can hear some comments from offstage. It's always a great encouragement, and it's always so uplifting to receive a message of love. And of course, a card or a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers, I mean, while they might be much appreciated and give pleasure, they're not the real source of encouragement. The real source of encouragement is the lover, the one who loves you. You might have noticed that I didn't actually put a name in the card to who it's going to. And you might also have noticed that I didn't sign it. I didn't put my name in. And that is a tradition with Valentine Day cards. They're sort of anonymous. And we have this tradition of sending these tokens of love to our spouse or our boyfriend or girlfriend. And it goes back somewhat loosely to a time when marriage was forbidden and love was denied. There are actually quite a lot of Saint Valentines, but the most likely candidate for the original is a priest or a bishop who was martyred around AD 270 by the Emperor Claudius II. And as with most of these early saints, the facts sort of get lost among the legend. The details that we have that have led to this present-day explosion of cards and chocolate can perhaps not be reliably traced back right to the 3rd century. But Emperor Claudius was a man who had lots of wars going on outside of Italy. So he needed lots of soldiers. And he figured that unmarried men were much more likely to leave their homes because they didn't have a wife and family to look after, join the army, and go off and kill people. So he banned marriage. Valentine, however, continued to marry people in secret. And this made him very popular with men and women in love. However, it made him very unpopular with Claudius when he found out. And he was thrown in jail. And there, he witnessed to his jailer. He told him all about Jesus. And when the jailer heard of all the stories of Jesus, he said to Valentine, "If all this is true, heal my daughter," because his daughter was blind. And so it goes that Valentine put his hand on the daughter and asked her to be healed in Jesus' name, and she was given her sight. The jailer and his family became Christians, and Valentine promptly fell in love with his daughter. And the night before his execution, he sent her a card, a little message of love, and he signed it, "From your Valentine." So however much of this story is true, St. Valentine's Day captures the deep desire in the human heart to express our affection to those we love. The card, the chocolates, the flowers are all messages of love, expressing that longing to belong to someone you love and for that someone you love to belong to you. God is love, Ruth told us earlier. And you know, Satan does not like love. Love is Satan's enemy. And he will use any means he can to end or to corrupt love. And if he can manage the powers and authorities of this world to do his job and to work against God's will, he will do so. For God has set a path of righteousness, and love for a man and woman in marriage is right there in the center of the path. And the deceiver loves to push people off the path. In Valentine's Day, tempting them on one side by getting the emperor to forbid marriage. In many nations, including our own nowadays, he pushes people off the other side, allowing two men or two women to get married, allowing and indeed encouraging what in God's eyes are mock marriages. So Valentine had a message of love for the one he loved. It was signed, it was sealed, and it was sent. And it's given us this Valentine encouragement to do the same for those we love. God is love. And our Heavenly Father sends messages of love that are not restricted to one day a year. God has an amazing love that is so immense, it is so long, it is so wide, so high, and so deep that a chocolates, a card, or a bunch of flowers just cannot do it justice. God has sent us a love letter that on every page expresses his undying love for us. And God has sent us the Bible. The Bible is the world's greatest love story. And although in places it tells of God's love for us on an epic and universal scale, the Bible is at its core a passionate expression of the outworking of God's love for each one of us. God is love. And God's love is described in the Bible as faithful love. Hesed is the Hebrew word. Hesed love is a love that is steadfast. Hesed love is a love that is true. Hesed love is a love that showers blessing on those that are loved. In the Old Testament, we see this revelation of God's love to his people displayed over and over again. It is a love that is greater. It is a love that goes further than any imperfect human love. Time and time again in Scripture, we read that God's people willfully disobey him and do the very things he has said they should not do. And in righteousness, God sometimes disciplines them. But in patience, mercy, and grace, his love goes further still. No matter how many times his wayward people wander from his path, he is always ready to bless them with his love when they turn back to him. It is true for the people of God as a whole, and it is true for individuals. God's love is both cosmic and personal. Sorry, I've got to do a bit of rearranging. I don't want to get water over the spare microphone and incur the wrath of the tech team. So God is love. And amazing and wonderful as the Bible is, this book here, revealing that love, God has a message of love which is even greater than his love letter, the Bible. You know, that message of love in a Valentine's card must be especially welcome if you can't be with the one you love, if you're perhaps working away, perhaps serving overseas in some capacity, perhaps you're in prison. Or perhaps the one you love is in prison. What a great encouragement a card would be. But how much better if you're able to receive in person that message of love? How much better if that message of love is brought to you by the person who loves you? If they manage to get where you are and you can see them face to face. God has a message of faithful, unending love. And he delivers it in person. God's message of love meets us in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, signed, sealed, and sent. The cards Valentine's Day are traditionally anonymous, but there's nothing anonymous about Jesus, God's message of love. He is signed as the Word of God from the very beginning of creation. It is through him that all things are made. Jesus is foretold by the prophet Isaiah as the coming suffering servant of God who would take on the sins of us all and bring healing. He is signed at the announcement of his birth by the angel, Son of God. Jesus is sealed in the body of Mary. He is enveloped in Mary's womb, and he is sent at his birth. He is born as a man, but still God with us. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, says, God loved the world this way. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because they have not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Jesus is God's greatest message of love for us. When preparing for today, I found it quite amazing that in John's Gospel, Jesus referred to himself by saying, "The Father sent me," or "I was sent by the Father," 16 times. And he makes the same claim, but indirectly, not using the word Father, that he is sent by God a further 28 times. That's 44 times, if my maths is right, in John's Gospel. And it's a demonstration how important that sending, that coming of Jesus is. Because Jesus is the only way we can have that love relationship that God intends for us. And it's not flowery sentimentality. It is hesed. It is faithful love. It is eternal love. And it was not just at his birth that Jesus was signed as God's love. He bore the signature of God throughout his ministry. He was signed by God in his teaching, and in his works and wonders. And the sign of his faithful love for us is not a red rose. It's not a heart pierced by a Cupid's arrow. The sign of Christ's love is a rough wooden cross. It is his body pierced by iron nails and a Roman spear. It is his life poured out so that we might live. A valentine signed in blood, signed with unending, eternal love for you and for me. He was sealed again, taken down from the cross, sealed in a tomb, sealed with a heavy stone. And there, the powers of evil intended him to stay. It was supposed to be the end of God's message of love to us. Imprisoned in a cold envelope of rock. Those powers never wanted Jesus to be delivered to this needy world, to a desperately lost people. But that envelope couldn't hold him. The stone was rolled away. Death was defeated. Faithful, unending, eternal love is delivered so that any who come to Jesus in repentance and faith, any who respond to his call of love in their lives, will share a glorious eternity with our loving Father. What a faithful, loving God. And what a glorious message of love Jesus is. And what of now? Jesus risen, but now ascended. Jesus at the right hand of God in heaven. His physical presence no more with us. He's gone, returned to heaven. And yet, he is still very much present. Though no longer walking here on earth, Jesus is still Emmanuel, God with us. Through the Holy Spirit, we have God living in us. And God's message of love still resounds through this world, through this earth. God still sends his message of love in Jesus to the nations. Now, God's message of love is sent out through his redeemed people. Now, God's message of love is sent out through you and through me. Now, God's message of love is sent out through his church, the body of Christ. We are signed, sealed, and we are sent. In Acts 11, we read about Barnabas and Paul. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught in large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, called by outsiders because of the quality of their lives together. Christians belonging to Christ. It's not just a name we are called by, for it's the name of Jesus. And we are to mirror him in bringing God's message of love to the world in word and deed. And we can be sure that God is with us in this, for we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We read in Ephesians 1:13, in him you were sealed with a promise with the promised Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And there are two different sorts of sealing. We saw the sealing of Jesus in the tomb, which was designed to keep him in. But the sealing in the Spirit is like those wax seals that were put on letters long ago, pressed on the back. And yes, it sealed it, but it sealed it so that those who received it knew it was not a forgery. They knew it hadn't been tampered with. They knew it was an accurate message. It was sealed with the seal of the person who wrote it or who sent it, so that they could know who it came from, that it was genuine. And we are sealed. And the message of the church is not kept hidden. It is sealed with integrity and authority. Jesus called his disciples to follow him. And that is not just putting your footsteps where he walked. It was the first call to the disciples, follow me. Follow me. Have you heard that call on your life? Yet that is not the ultimate aim. When Jesus, after he rose, met the disciples at Lake Tiberias, Peter was there, who had betrayed him, who had denied him. Not betrayed him, sorry, but denied him when questioned if he was one of the disciples. And what did Jesus ask him? He didn't ask him to confess his sin. He didn't ask him to repent. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And three times, Peter replied, yes, Lord. I love you. You know that I love you. And Jesus, much earlier, had told his disciples, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And it is love that is the key to following Jesus. Enthusiasm, dedication, zeal, and determination will be of no use if they are not born, if they do not flow from a wholehearted love of God. And what is this love like? It's love that is patient, love that is kind, love that does not envy, love that is not boastful, love that is not arrogant, love that is not rude, love that is not self-seeking, love that is not irritable, love that does not keep a record of wrongs, love that finds no joy in unrighteousness but rejoices in the truth, love that bears all things, love that believes all things, love that hopes all things, love that endures all things, and love never ends. It is such a love for Christ that will enable us to follow Jesus. It is such a love for Christ that will keep us in obedience to his commands. It is such a love of Christ that will flow over to our brothers and sisters and bind us together as his body. It is such a love of Christ that will ensure that the church will forever be God's message of love to the world. So how do I measure up? Well, those of you who know me might look at all those qualities of love and think, not quite. Those of you that know me well might look at all those qualities of love and think, nowhere near. So love falls short of that true and faithful godly love. We may not be there yet, but God is changing us ever more into the likeness of Christ. That is his work in our lives. And you know, the only restriction is how much we resist the change. The only restriction is how much we resist the change. But it should not stop us. We do not have to wait for personal perfection to bring God's message of love to the world. I got a break again, look. I got another card. There's an envelope. I'm going to start with the envelope. You probably can't see. It's actually got Trinity on it. That's not his address where it's going. It's where it's coming from. It's where it's coming from. God is love. The card's got love on it. The card is Jesus. The card is Jesus. God's love revealed to the world. God's love in the world. It's trying to get out, which is good. Jesus in the center of Trinity. His temple of living stones, sealed not to keep him in, but with that seal of authority and ownership, which is God. We do not go in our own name. We do not go in the name of the church. We go signed, sealed and sent in the name of Jesus Christ to bring him and his offer of everlasting love and life to the world. Could we have the verse up, please? For God so loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Amen. We're going to stand and praise God, which is with a song, which is also a prayer. Make me a channel of your peace.